Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. And that is us. Good morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber along with Jim Cramer. Carl has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures as we get ready to start a new week of trading. You can see, well, maybe it is all that M&A that's helping power the broader averages here, but we are going to be up. Let's take a look at crude oil before we get to our roadmap, just give you a sense there, because remember last week we did see significant weakness there, and that continues at least. No rally there, $37. All right, let's get to our roadmap this morning. So many different stories to choose from, but let's start with Oracle. Those shares are jumping ahead of the bell. Apparently, it beat out Microsoft and that Walmart as well, being part of that partnership in a deal for TikTok. But Jim and I are going to go over this and figure out what exactly represents a deal. By the way, here's a real deal. NVIDIA buying Arm Holdings. The price tag, about $38.5 billion. CEO Jensen Huang is going to join us later this hour. And Verizon CEO Hans Vestberg. Yeah, we just booked Hans. Why not? Come on. Talk to us about that deal as well. Verizon buying TracFone. The price there, about $6.5 billion, maybe as much as $7 billion, with certain targets met. Jim, no shortage of M&A. I didn't even get to the Gilead deal as well. Just give me your take overall here in terms of where we stand on the markets before we start talking specifically about this TikTok transaction.
I can argue I want older people who keep saying the market's too high to cover their ears. I could argue that all these deals this morning add up to a market that some people think is too cheap. The amount of money that is going into stocks that I think many people felt were overvalued is astonishing, David. And I think that it's setting the tone, because it's very hard to think, you know what, the market is got to go down when you have such smart buyers in there buying things. And we can dispute how smart Gilead is, but they got the firepower.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. We'll be watching some of these, both the acquirer stock prices and, of course, the acquired companies, in particular that Immunomedics deal, given the huge premium being paid by Gilead. That'll be fun to watch when it opens. But, Jim, I want to come to you on something that you and I have both been following, although, frankly, somewhat frustrating from my point of view because my reporting on it has been fairly limited, which is this sale of TikTok. And I put those sort of air quotes around it because we have nothing right now in terms of a press release from ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, Oracle, in terms of what actually is going on here. We have reporting from our own Julia Boorstin, from some others, saying that Oracle is going to be the winner, so to speak, or at least a partner of ByteDance's. And I'm just trying to understand what exactly happened here, because our understanding, of course, had been, as a result of national security concerns, that the United States wanted TikTok sold. That is, the business in the United States sold. Everything moved. Remember, they were going to give them 1 year to transfer the code and everything else. The Chinese said, you're not getting the AI, you're not getting the algorithm, and it appears that that's going to be okay. I'm not quite sure what Oracle ends up with. They certainly have a hosting deal, so they're going to move it from Chinese servers to the U.S. servers at Oracle. All right, they get that. But what else are they getting here if the algorithm's staying in China and going to continue to power the platform? And why is that okay if we were worried about national security?
You know, I don't get it. I mean, that's what you want. You want the algorithm. And I thought that the idea would be that Oracle has no national security issues because they're not in China. So why not just separate the two, get the algo, move everything that's necessary to the United States via port by the very good co-writers at Oracle. But the algo is what matters, David. So I'm confused myself. Also, I know that Walmart's going to come back. So the whole idea that this is somehow done is facetious. It's just, I mean, I think Walmart, I think, could be out there today, David. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's very hard to get this one down. There are people behind the scenes trying to get it so that Oracle, with PE money, buys the whole thing. But right now, it seems like it's very second. Let's say to me, Oracle should not be up this much if this is all they get.
Well, you're buying a brand name. You're buying, obviously, a customer base that loves this product. But you're not buying the underlying technology that powers it and makes it so popular, right? All that AI, those 15 million lines of code that I've talked about endlessly that pick up on weak signals, not just strong signals, and deliver people things that keep them engaged in a way that we haven't seen many platforms able to do, Jim. We don't know. We don't have a press release. We've only got reporting from various places saying something is close, but I'm not sure what they mean when they talk about it being a technology partner. It makes me wonder whether it's just, okay, we're going to move things off the Chinese servers to our own. It almost akin to if Snapchat were to say, I'm going to move from AWS to Azure.
I agree. I've reached out to Safra Katz. I'm sure you have too, the secretive people.
And I've been reaching out. Reaching out as well, not getting any answers.
Nothing. How about no comment? That would be great rather than just like after I know you for so long, Safra, you just Anyway, there's just a lot of Larry Ellison and Safra, their first name people, obviously Larry and Safra. Where are they? And they do not talk. And I think that I know that Walmart wants it, David, because they see the e-commerce and ads and how great they were in China. So Walmart's going to come back because they need this. But this is strange disclosure. Yeah. Very strange disclosure.
I think it really is. It's strange. We're still waiting and we have a lot of questions. I think we've made that apparent to our viewers at this point. Secretary Mnuchin was on with Squawk Box earlier. Guys, I think we may have the sound from him on what he had to say about this pending transaction. Take a listen.
We did get a proposal over the weekend that includes Oracle as the trusted technology partner, with Oracle making many representations for national security issues. There's also a commitment to create TikTok Global as a U.S. headquartered company with 20,000 new jobs. I'm not going to go into the entire proposal. We will be reviewing that at the CFIUS committee this week, and then we'll be making a recommendation to the president and reviewing it with him.
You know, Jim, when this whole thing started and Kevin Mayer took the job, remember, that was kind of the plan then. Like, we're going to move it to the U.S. We're going to headquarter it here. We'll move the stuff off the servers there. And that's why he took the job. But And TikTok Global would be based here, and I'll get to run it. I don't know. I mean, if you're him, maybe you're wondering, why did I resign?
I think you're right. Now, last week, Oracle reported what I thought was a very good quarter. The market liked it. They would not comment about this. But, David, this is definitively B2C, as we like to say, business to consumer. A lot of people know that Oracle is entirely enterprise, B2B. So it will be very interesting to see if Oracle can do something. But, David, Oracle's growing low single digit. This would accelerate it, and rather than just continually buy back stock, which is what Safra Katz has done, this is growth.
Yes.
So I think it's great for Oracle if they would tell us what's happening.
Yeah, agreed. We have a lot of questions. We're hoping to get them clarified and really understand what it means by technology partner. The U.S. seems to have changed its willingness to allow the algorithm to stay there and continue to power it, Jim. I guess that's what I would just come back to. Just sort of for now end this conversation.
Well, but there were many people in the administration who didn't want
thought.
That to happen.
Previously, I thought the whole idea was that you didn't want this algorithm involved with this thing anymore because you don't trust the Chinese.
David, there are people who even hate Microsoft, who were so thrilled that because they'll get the algorithm. So this is just a complete conundrum. Mr. Secretary, come back, call us back, try to explain to us why this is you're willing to do this because it makes no sense. It doesn't, David. Unless we're on the story right, and I've got to tell you, I think we do.
We may, but we're also waiting. You know, we're waiting for clarification on things again because we're we're impatiently waiting.
And I expect Walmart.
Talk about a guy.
Let's have something from Walmart soon, please. Walmart. Walmart. Okay. Can you watch the darn show? Come on, you got the phone number. I'm trying, David.
Well, they said they continue to have an interest in TikTok's investment, continue discussions with ByteDance leadership and other interested parties. So clearly they wanted to stay involved. And, right. You know, so we'll see.
Well, I like Verizon because they're transparent, and I like NVIDIA because they're transparent. But you know what? We'll have to deal with Oracle's secretive nature. And, of course, that makes it so that what we're drawn to is that they contributed to Trump's campaign. How about telling us what you're getting, Oracle? But they, you know, they don't play it the way we do.
Yeah.
As opposed to Jensen.
Jim, you said it. Yep. No, it doesn't. I know it's got that feel to it again, unfortunately. All right, let's move on to NVIDIA and Jensen Huang, who thankfully you booked for the show. We're going to talk to Jensen a little later. A lot of questions there, but obviously they make the move to acquire ARM. $21.5 billion in NVIDIA stock goes to SoftBank, which used to be a big owner of it, as you know, and then sold it. And now clearly is happy to have it at a far higher price. $12 billion in cash, and then $5 billion in payments that may come if they hit certain milestones as well. What's your take?
NVIDIA goes from a company that is absolutely nothing when it comes to cell phones to having a company that has something that touches every bit of a cell phone. Actually, the combination of the two, Dave, makes it so that NVIDIA ARM is in pretty much every device you have. It's a home run if he can get it. By the way, we can discuss what price. Colette Kress, the CFO, just confirmed the $40 billion. I don't know, David. You can argue that it's even less than that, and that's pretty much what ARM paid. ARM has spent a fortune trying to make it better, but that SoftBank paid what, David? Right around here, you could argue. And they spent a fortune.
A little less, yeah.
I like about this, David. Isn't this the nail in the coffin of Intel? I mean, what does Intel have? Intel's surrounded. It's a pincer move.
And I know.
Jensen
and NVIDIA, of course, as we know, passed Intel in market cap size, just as a reflection, of course. Listen, the multiple to revenues that NVIDIA gets is pretty extraordinary, incredibly fast.
If you go back to 2018 and you see what they ended up at the beginning, it looked like it was going to be 100 times earnings. It turned out to be 20 times earnings because of the growth rate of NVIDIA.
Right.
Now, NVIDIA, we know, is gaming, and we know it does autonomous drive, and we know that it's got some artificial intelligence, machine learning. David, artificial intelligence is the bedrock of ARM Holdings. So, I mean, this is really an extraordinary deal, and I think it's game, set, match in the semiconductor industry. They touch every, you know, Qualcomm's got one piece, and Advanced Micro's got one piece, and Intel's got, now NVIDIA's got everything. And they, by the way, ARM is so far ahead in artificial intelligence, it's really extraordinary. It's very interesting to see that I think that the amount of time that Jensen has to spend in London, and these guys are saying, listen, they're going to lose, you know, there's a founder of ARM who's saying they're going to lose a lot of jobs. NVIDIA's going to hire people, for heaven's sake. But those are people who don't know Jensen. Wait till they meet Jensen. They will be blown away. He's the visionary. I call him.
There are some questions. Well,
he's Da Vinci.
Yeah, I know you call him Da Vinci.
Why not?
Da Vinci. Yeah, no, I listen. I listen.
Okay. Well, it's better than Nikola.
This along with AMD.
Cough drop.
This along with AMD. We'll talk about Nikola later. Along with AMD and Salesforce.
Do you agree about the price, David? Because Colette gave you the $40 billion.
One of your greatest picks.
What do you think? Thank you very much.
I've got $21.5 billion in stock, $12 billion in cash, $5 billion in other payments, and then I want to figure out where the extra $1.5 billion I'm missing comes from, but I would assume
Jensen,
the number.
Jensen will give it to you. When you talk to Jensen, he'll give it to you.
But they are getting, 44 million? How many shares of NVIDIA are they getting? I got to look at the release again, guys. Sorry, I didn't write it down. But something along those lines.
There's more deals today. It's hard to keep track.
There are. It is hard to keep track.
But
let's not forget
will.
The SoftBank side of this. They take in $40 billion. They're also selling another, in a secondary, more of their SoftBank mobile unit in Japan. They've sold some Alibaba. I mean, they are moving very quickly there. Forget 100-year vision, man. They've
How
got
about
like
going
100
private, David? A lot of
minute
cash.
Vision. I know. Reports about going private. I'd love to see how that capital structure would work there and how much debt they'd need. But
let's
maybe
get
they could
this
pull
done,
it off
David.
Given that enormous
Did you really book
Alibaba
Hans?
Position as well.
Did you book Hans?
Yeah, we booked Hans. In fact, when we come back, we'll have an exclusive with that man right there, Hans Vestberg. the CEO of Verizon, after another sizable deal this morning. Track Mobile, $6.5 billion. We'll ask him about that. Stay with us.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Verizon announcing plans to purchase prepaid phone provider TracFone this morning. It's a deal that could be worth as much as $7 billion. Verizon CEO Hans Vestberg joins us now for an exclusive interview. Hans, thanks for making the time, getting to the Zoom here or whatever you're using to connect to us. Why are you doing this deal?
Good morning, David. No, I think this is, as you and I have been discussing many times before, we have a clear strategy as a network as a service. This is coming very good in hand with our offering. I mean, today we are the number one on the premium offerings. This is the prepaid offering where we today have 4 million subscribers only. We're adding in the 21 million, which of the majority already are using the Verizon network because TracFone is an MVNO on top of the network. So I think we can bring our scale to the customers and the consumers, as well as bringing the innovation that we have from the premium segment. And suddenly we continue to use our network and service that we have been talking now for 2-3 years as a main strategy. So this fits very well into the main strategy that we outlined 2 years ago.
Right. But all right. So you're getting a lot bigger in the prepaid business, as you made clear, from 4 million to what would be almost 25 million when you add in their 21 million subs. Why is that a business, though, Hans, that you want to be larger in?
No, I think that first of all, we want to play in all the segments for the consumers in the United States and be able to use our scale, because ultimately we talk about our scale, the network, the distribution platform, the innovation platform, and we can then orchestrate that on the needs of our customers. And that's sort of the idea we had all the time, that we can do that for different types of parts of the segment in this market. And so that fits very well in for us, and that it is a growth segment as well. So it also plays into our growth narrative that we want to grow GDP plus. So it fits into all the things we've discussed the previous 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a fairly sizable price you're paying here for these subs. We can measure it in different ways, but why was it, you know, a price that you feel is a reasonable one for Verizon to be paying for these subs, the 90,000 retail locations as well?
No, I think it's a fair valuation that we're paying for. We have, of course, operational efficiencies that we can bring into this, and ultimately the innovation that we can bring to the table in order to create growth. So for us, it all hangs together with our business model. And then, as we said, also the first year of operation, we believe we're going to be EPS accretive on this one. So it all hangs together with the financial right. prudence that we all have, together with the strategic intent we have.
Is it a reflection at all of your concern about the U.S. economy? I mean, I bring that up because obviously prepaid typically, you know, have a credit that is not as strong and things of that nature. Is it perhaps a reflection of the times we're in, where we're going to unfortunately have a lot of people who have to go that route?
No, actually, we started this conversation. First of all, we have been a long-term partner of TracFone, and the majority of all the customers on the TracFone network is on the Verizon network. We started this conversation at the latter part of 2019 as we saw this fitting into our strategy. So, of course, in today's environment, you see more potential when it comes to the prepaid as we're in COVID-19, but it was more of a long-term strategy that we have outlined as a company.
Hans, Jim Cramer.
Hey, Cramer.
How you been?
I'm fine. You?
All right, buddy. Okay, listen to me. Red Ventures today buys CNET from Viacom, $500 million. What is the price that you're willing to sell Yahoo?
I think, first of all, we are very happy on the performance we have on Verizon Media Group and how they have been performing, both now in the COVID, but also since we started with a new strategy. I think we have great asset in all the over-the-top Yahoo Sports, Yahoo Finance, etc. And we have a great and strong technology advertising platform. So I feel good about that, and it fits well into our overall strategy.
Hans, finally, you know, we tried to get a feel for the U.S. economy from you as well. I know you haven't, obviously, you're in the middle of the quarter to a certain extent, but
yeah.
What are you seeing right now? You know, the pledge and things of that nature. What are you seeing in terms of people's ability to continue to stay connected and pay their bills, particularly given the extra unemployment benefit that many were getting was diminished significantly not that long ago?
So I can only go back a couple of weeks back when we had our reporting and which was in the end of July. You know, we still saw a healthy base of from our customers, how they were spending and how they were paying their bills.
Fantastic.
So I don't think we have seen any major difference from that so far. But ultimately, we will come back and report on that when we come to the next quarter.
Hans, thanks for making the time this morning and rushing to be with us. We appreciate your filling us in on this deal.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
All right, Hans Vestberg, CEO of Verizon, on that deal to acquire TracFone again. You saw it, half cash, half stock, $6.5 billion, another $500 million as well in sort of merit payments, so to speak, that could be coming as well. Still to come, much bigger deal, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang on that $40 billion deal to acquire Arm Holdings from SoftBank. Walk on the street. Be right back.
At the UPS store, we want to make this summer the summer of shipping. Summer Shipalooza. So you can start crossing items off your must-ship list, like the vintage film camera your college kid needs for class, or the vase you told your mom you would send her ages ago. And with our pack and ship guarantee, your items arrive safe or we reimburse you. So stop by your local store today for everything you need to be unstoppable. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Available at participating locations. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
All right, you can see we are headed for a higher open. Only 6 minutes or so from now, we'll get started. In five, actually, minutes from now with an opening bell as well. Not long after that opening bell, we'll be speaking with NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang. His company, of course, buying Arm Holdings from SoftBank. We'll be right back. Time for a mad dash, of course, as we also get to the opening bell. It looks like we're going to be higher, powered by a wave of M&A. But you want to talk a little Seattle? Well, Genetics?
Yeah, I'm on a contrast. I mean, Seattle Genetics has a fantastic anti-cancer franchise, a couple of new drugs, really amazing. They're just actually covering far more in the body than most. And Merck buys, they made a billion-dollar investment at 200, David. They get 200, $2.6 billion in milestone payments. I want to contrast to Gilead. I mean, Gilead's paying a fortune, 108% premium over stock that is already up way, way too much. And Merck here is doing something that I think is good for both companies, but is not the vast overpay. And no matter what I do, I can't get to where Gilead can make money. Maybe they know about some formulations that can be much more powerful than just breast cancer. But what you want to do is do what Merck did. Make an investment, do milestone pays, and still have a balance sheet. Is Gilead desperate, David? Doesn't it hint and smack of desperation?
Yep, they pay. But we have become somewhat accustomed to these enormous premiums in this area, Jim. Your point is well made. It's not, I think they're talking, 2023?
Oh.
Until it may start to become accretive. At the same time, you know, they got cash sitting there. I think they're using $6 billion in debt, but $15 billion in cash was just sitting there earning practically nothing.
Well, you could put it in a chimney or you could give it to these guys. I mean, honestly,
right.
David,
so,
why
I
not
mean,
do the way that
it's
Merck
It's going to have no effect on... Yeah, but it's not going to have much of an effect on their EPS within a year. So, you know, all that cash is earning practically nothing.
Yeah, but I get it.
But your point, I get it. I mean,
yeah. I did a
this stock,
COVID
they sold
index.
Stock.
100 stocks, David. It's,
yeah.
It's the last. It's down 17% since, I mean, it's incredible how poorly it's performed. Why? I think that management has a lot to answer to, David.
Gilead. Yeah, well, listen, they had a great Hep C, but then they cured it. You know,
yeah.
That was the problem,
yeah.
Right? That drug.
We want maintenance drugs, David.
Disease.
We don't want cures. Isn't that terrible?
You don't want cures. Exactly. Darn those cures. Just give me maintenance. All right. You can see the real-time exchange back at our headquarters, of course. Wow. Yeah.
That's
and,
too green, David.
Heard the bells there at the
That's
NASDAQ.
That's too green.
NYC.
People, please
Why?
Wait. Wait. There's been a dip every day between 10 and 10:30. There's no reason to just go in there and buy it when it's a sea of green, sky of blue.
Yellow submarine.
Exactly.
So you think there's an opportunity that will perhaps present itself in an hour or two if there's some things you want to buy because we've dipped in the past.
Like why, you know, why is Facebook up 4 right now? Why is FedEx up 7? Okay, at least it got a big price target bump. But David, the price target bumps are working. Now, you and I both know that price targets are just something that Wall Street does because the stocks have overrun the price target.
Yes.
It's not what I like.
It is rarer for an analyst to actually say, okay, I'm going to downgrade. They do, but they're more apt to just say, all right, I raised my price target.
Exactly right. It's not my thing. David, we still have many more deals to cover. And some of them are I shouldn't call it a deal, but you know, there was a big investment by GM in Nikola, okay? And then right after that, the Hindenburg, which of course crashed and burned in New Jersey, but is also a research firm, got shorted and blasted the heck out of it and said, look, you know, here's points that have to be addressed. Nikola comes out today and addresses them. Of course, then Hindenburg comes back and says, none of those were really answers. But David, this has become the ultimate battleground. And you know what's interesting? Jeff Rubin, from Value Act, he's on the board.
Yeah.
Do you think he just said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to look at this investment. Bosch is on the board. I mean, Bosch is a real company. So we have to dig deeper here, David, because did GM get had or does GM have something?
You know, Jim, this is a fascinating one. I've spent time, as you know, with Trevor, talked to him. We had our last interview with him. He's been on our network since, but not with us.
Right.
I think he was on last week with Mary Barra. When they announced that important partnership with GM in terms of the production of the Badger. They've got a lot going on here. I read the Hindenburg report, as you did, in full.
Right.
There are certainly some key questions about past behavior and other things. Trucks rolling down hills. Now,
no
they
one's
never
disputing.
Said it was being propelled by itself. They haven't disputed that.
But, David, isn't that a suboptimal way to demonstrate that you have something? Is pushing down a
it
hill
is,
when you say
it
that
is.
It's not a push?
They say now they run on their own, right? The two, not the one. That was the one.
Right.
Runs on its own power. Jim, you know, he's... what is Nikola? It's a vision that this founder has of bringing together all these different technologies with this vertical plan, right, to have 700 hydrogen stations and make the money really from selling subscriptions for the trucks.
Right.
That run on the hydrogen stations, that's where you make the money as opposed to just selling the truck and making a margin on it.
But
there's a lot that goes on here. But to your point, he's got a lot of OEMs that are involved and on his board. Are they all not doing their due diligence? Are they all just buying into sort of a broad thesis without really understanding exactly what's going
David,
on under the hood, if you'll allow me to
are
say
you
that? I don't know.
An almost Theranos-like situation, David?
You know, they were so much more secretive, I think.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
I'm actually being facetious.
You sat down with Elizabeth Holmes.
Walgreens got had bad. Safeway got had bad.
So did the Cleveland Clinic did as well.
I know.
But you never really saw it. You know, they kind of faked it until they tried to make it, and of course they never made it. You know, sometimes there is fake it till you make it.
Right.
Listen,
now,
Elon
Nathan,
Musk has been known as somebody who's got a lot of hyperbole, who, if you look back, has said things that didn't end up being true. At the same time, though, He's creating all these incredible things with their own technology. I don't know.
I don't know either, but Nathan Anderson from Hindenburg itself just came back to me and says they didn't respond to over half of our questions, and they tacitly admitted that they rolled the truck down the hill. That is, remember, that's the suboptimal portion. But the one thing that, David, like, you could give someone $2 billion and say, listen, you could be a research lab. Now, I know from Lindy that you can't get the hydrogen, the largest hydrogen company, that you can't, well, along with Air Products, you can't get it down to where they're saying it can get down. But at the same time, David, if you give somebody $2 billion and you got Bosch in there and you got CNA, I mean, you have real companies in there and GM's real. Maybe it's just a canvas to paint on. And it's going to end up being, I don't know, I hope it's not a Barnett Newman. I mean, I'm hoping it's more like a Rembrandt. We'll have to ask Jensen.
I agree.
Nobody knows painting like Jensen.
He doesn't. No, he's the Da Vinci, as you say. By the way, we should mention shares of Oracle are halted, Jim. Perhaps we'll get a release soon.
Oh, maybe Safra will call us.
And maybe we'll get some answers to our questions that we raised at the open of the show. On Nikola, to sort of, it's something we'll continue to talk about. At some point, I assume Trevor will join us again. This does impact their ability, though, to execute to a certain extent.
Exactly,
if there are doubts. And there are doubts about future partners, or perhaps deals that they were close to signing where people are now pulling back, or even their ability to raise additional capital. You can have that impact if you are Hindenburg, even if many of your arguments or things that you were saying are not necessarily applicable right now.
But David, let's talk about ValueAct. Do you know how good they are? ValueAct doesn't get on something.
Who?
ValueAct is in there. Jeff.
Right. No. Listen,
he's not a student.
I know. Believe me, that was, as you know, I know them well. I brought up and on with Trevor when we introduced this company sort of to our audience when they announced the SPAC deal with Steven Gursky SPAC. And I did it largely on Mr. Ubben's credibility. There's no doubt about
Mark
that.
Well, why don't I get Mark Russell on? Maybe it's time, David, for,
For Trevor Milton said,
to be more of a figurehead.
The best can get taken, Jim. It happens.
Absolutely.
It happens. You know
what
happens.
Cleveland Clinic
was all those people that Elizabeth Holmes brought in, right? Look at all the investors she had.
But David, I think she's pleading, insanity? So, I mean, maybe it's okay. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
First you're insane, and then the next they call you insane, and then they say you're
insanity.
Visionary. Now they're going back to the original thing they said.
Right. Well, a sane person is judged insane in an insane society. Never forget that, Jim.
Wow, David. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's from Star Trek.
Trek. Did you like the triple one? Yeah. I always like the triple one. Or the cement galoshes one where they go back in time. All right, never mind.
Okay. That was a great one. Was a great one. Yeah, where he's a gangster.
I love
that one.
How great.
Shatner's
played many roles.
He has played many roles. Yes, apparently he raps too. Who knew? All right, we're waiting on the Oracle news on TikTok. Hopefully we'll get that shortly. The stock is halted. Let's we're going to be talking to Jensen Huang shortly. I wanted to get to the SoftBank side of it as well, though, Jim, because they've sold so many assets at SoftBank. Obviously, ARM is the latest, and it's the largest, although the T-Mobile sale was enormous, remember, of their stock there in the combination once they own T-Mobile shares as a result of selling Sprint to T-Mobile. They're selling their own SoftBank Mobile in a secondary, more shares there. They've sold down some Alibaba. I don't know what's going on with Masa. He's unpredictable.
Right.
If nothing else.
Well, David, how about this for a bizarre theory? They were buying a lot of calls, right? That's what we understand. Some people say $4 billion, some people say $5
billion. Oh, yes, of course. I forgot to mention that, right.
The most jacked up stock that they were probably buying was none other than NVIDIA. I mean, look at the chart there. It can't be Apple because they split. It can't be Tesla because they split. I mean, they move up NVIDIA and then they get a bid from NVIDIA. Just kind of putting it out there is...
I know.
Pretty funny, right?
And don't forget, remember when they owned NVIDIA and the Vision Fund, then they sold NVIDIA. Now they're obviously taking in another $21.5 billion worth of NVIDIA shares at this price.
Well,
fascinating, as we like to say here on Squawk on the Street. All right, when we come back, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang is going to join us. Keep it right here.
This is the most important acquisition in semiconductor history. NVIDIA announcing the company will buy ARM Holdings from SoftBank. And joining us to discuss the deal is none other than NVIDIA's CEO, Jensen Huang. Jensen, I don't know, you haven't gone to sleep yet. Did you get a little nap? Because I know that you're working overtime to get this deal done.
Waiting for your phone call, waiting to get online here, I took a little nap.
All right, let's go right to it. You were talking about merging with the world's most popular CPU with NVIDIA's AI computing platform. This is an AI play, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a big deal. I am so excited about this, Jim. You know that ARM is an extraordinary company. This is the company that built the world's most popular CPU. It has built 180 billion units over its course of its history. 22 billion of it just last year, and so they're in everything. They're in everything, and they power computers of all different types and shapes, from supercomputers, the fastest supercomputer in the world, all the way down to, you know, smart watches and smart thermostats. And so this is a CPU company that has been built over 30 years with extraordinary computer scientists, and it's an extraordinary company. I'm just so excited that the opportunity came up, and so now we've combined the most popular, the vastest ecosystem CPU in the world with the world's leading AI computing company, and the vision is this. I mean, we want to build a computing company for the age of AI. If you think about all the chips that have been shipped, 22 billion chips that were shipped last year, mm-hmm. we know very well going forward that AI will be infused into them, that accelerated computing would have to augment the CPUs because Moore's Law has really come to an end. And so those things play right into our wheelhouse. And if we could leverage their business model, if we could stand on the network that they've created and take the technology we've invented and put it into that channel and make them available to their thousands of partners, the economics for us would be incredible. But most importantly, we'd be able to spread the NVIDIA architecture all over the place.
Well, Jensen, one of the things that I've learned about you is that when you say a deal's going to get done, it gets done. I was very skeptical about the Mellanox deal because of China. Now, there are many, many skeptics here saying that the customers won't like it. I have no idea why they say that. There's no overlap. There are people who are saying, you know what, this deal will not pass government muster. I don't get that either. And there are people who are saying that you're going to fire thousands of people in Belfast and England. I think you're going to end up hiring. I need you to refute these things so it's not just me out there saying this is the next Mellanox and this deal will get done and it will be accretive.
Yeah, first of all, it will be accretive. Customers. When the rumors came out, Simon took a whole bunch of phone calls from customers. And they wanted to know what's going to go on with ARM. And the reason for that is because ARM is foundational to every single one of them. And ARM is essential to them. They want to know that they can continue to rely on ARM. The fact that we're announcing the deal today suggests that the conversations went fine. And so although nobody likes change, if they realize that we're committed to the business model, we're committed to openness and fairness, and we are more than that because we want to keep everything the same. Plus, we want to add our IP to it, so that they could have more to purchase and more value that we can deliver to them, and so customers are fine. With respect to the regulatories, the just as we did with Mellanox, the important thing to realize, Jim, is that each one of the countries want to make sure that their local markets and their local customers are protected. They want to make sure that there's competition, that it's pro customers and pro competition. This transaction, because the two of us are complementary, It's not an industry consolidation, meaning two DRAM companies buying each other. It's nothing like that. Right. Mellanox builds CPUs. We don't build CPUs. Mellanox license IP. We don't license IP. Mellanox is largely in mobile. We're not in mobile at all. Right. And so the two companies are fully complementary, and we have an opportunity here to build the next major data center and the next major computing platform together. And so we have all the pieces between us, Mellanox, NVIDIA's complete stack of software and systems capability, and now with ARM's CPU core, we could create a new, a significant and viable alternative in the marketplace. And so customers are going to love that. The markets love alternatives.
Jensen,
so the regulators are going to be fine.
I agree. Now, there's some skepticism about NVIDIA itself? How did it get to be $320 billion? How did it get to be bigger than Intel? What I tell people is, first of all, there's a man by that who is DaVinci. Sorry, but don't get too swelled ahead, but I have to call you that. But also, I mean, Intel is a function of Moore's Law. They can't make it smaller. They can't make it faster. And I just wanted to hear from you about the fact that the stock was selling at 20 times earnings in 2018. But your big, vast vision, because it's not what NVIDIA looks like now. It's spectacular, and I want you to tell people.
Well, we know that the single most important, the single most powerful technology force of our time is artificial intelligence. This is the automation of automation, where software writes software, and it's able to write software that no humans can. And it's the reason why natural language understanding is working so well. It's the reason why computer vision is working so well. It's the reason why banks use it for fraud detection. We're using it for detecting cancer in radiology. There's so many different applications for artificial intelligence. NVIDIA made the right bet a decade ago to put everything into this new way of doing computing, because we realized that in this new world of AI, the computer has to fundamentally change. The software has to fundamentally change. And the applications that we were able to create as a result of it is going to be unlike anything before. This is the largest industrial opportunity the computer industry has ever seen. And that's the reason why there's AI races in the race for AI in nations after nations after nations. People understand the importance of this technology, and we are the world leader in it. This is a gigantic industry. Now with the combination of Mellanox ourselves and ARM, we could directly serve a $250 billion TAM in a way from the cloud all the way out to the edge like nobody can. And so I think our growth is just in the beginning, and I'm super excited about it.
Jensen, it's David Faber. I want to come back to this question that Jim already asked to just make sure I understand. You know, if I'm Samsung then, or if I'm Apple, or I'm Qualcomm, and I've been relying on ARM sort of as a neutral player, and now it's going to be owned by a competitor, you're telling me you've had those conversations and they're okay with that?
Simon's had those conversations. And remember, I don't compete with Apple. I don't compete with Samsung. Right. We don't make mobile devices. Samsung's a great partner of ours. Apple's a great customer. I mean, I think just people think that we're a semiconductor company, and therefore, because ARM licenses the semiconductor company, and we are a semiconductor company, therefore there must be a competitive pressure, and that's just not the case. We love the business model. I love the licensing business model. It's the reason why ARM's architecture can reach 22 billion devices last year. No manufacturing, no design strategy can possibly do that. And so we want to keep this. We want to take NVIDIA's architecture and put it into that network and make it available to all of their partners who are building those 22 billion chips. And if some of them were to use NVIDIA's architecture, as Moore's Law runs out of steam and the world needs accelerated computing and the world needs AI computing, the growth opportunity for us is fantastic. And the opportunities for all the customers to build better products is fantastic. And so that's what we're looking into. And of course we would protect that business model. Of course we would protect that that network and channel. Yeah, because it is our highway to the rainbow on the other side.
Right. And again, back to this idea of getting antitrust approval from the Chinese. You indicated from a strategic perspective, rational perspective, and looking at the antitrust implications, there shouldn't be any. But you well know, given how long you had to wait, you did get it for antitrust approval on Mellanox, that these things can take on a life of their own, particularly given the very high tensions between our country and China. So again, you are still confident that you can get that Chinese antitrust approval and not concerned that it could take, for example, a very long amount of time?
I'm very confident, even more confident after our last experience. And the reason for that is this. I believe there's a separation. There's a relationship, but it's not the same, between politics and government. I think the regulatories that we met with asked legitimately logical questions. They want to understand what is the nature of the technology, what markets do we serve, to whom do we sell to, the nature of the competition, the market dynamics, how it would change as a result of this combination. And they asked really good questions. I was really impressed by the people we were working with, the thoughtfulness of the questions. They were good questions on any level. And those questions are, of course, then posed to the local analysts, the local customers, the local local technology providers, and they would respond. And then we would get to respond. Because of that back and forth, it takes time. But I found no example where logic did not prevail.
Jensen.
And the thing that the thing I will tell you at the highest level, because this is not a consolidation play, this is a complementary combination. Just like we weren't in networking, Mellanox wasn't in GPUs. It was perfectly complementary. We are wonderfully complementary.
Jensen, I'm sorry. I know that we're short in time. Quick answer. I hate to be so clipped. I can't get a pledge from you that you are not going to cut, but you're actually probably going to add, particularly build an AI center in Cambridge. You're not going to cut people, are you?
We are going to add. We're going to add because this is one of the greatest talent pools in the world in computer science. Cambridge, UK. Look at the work that they do. We're going to add around that, and we're going to bring a world-class AI research center and a supercomputing facility and install it in Cambridge and attract amazing researchers from there.
Jensen.
So we're going to add a lot.
Jensen, I want to thank you. You are Da Vinci. Sorry. That's who I think you are. It's always great to talk to you. Always great to talk to Colette Kress. Thank you for all the help you've given us, okay?
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right.
Keep safe. All right. Bye-bye.
So impressive, Jim.
He's the man.
He really is. All right, still to come, we got more CEOs coming your way. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla is going to join us. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Jim, we'd only have time for you telling us what's on MAD tonight. We had a jam-packed show.
Oh, boy. Well, we do have GW Pharma on tonight, and that does matter, obviously. It's cannabis. David, we got to find out why they're not using it in much broader indications. It baffles me. Consider me baffled.
Any final thoughts for us as this day progresses?
There are some deals that were great, NVIDIA, maybe Oracle, and not Gilead.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Certainly.
Hang in there,
buddy. Good to see you.
Okay. You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.